Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. By John Bunyan. Continued. HailAndFire.com. And truly, the Lord let me go thus many months together, and showed me nothing. Either that I was already, or should be called hereafter, but at last after much time spent, and many groans to God, that I might be the made partaker of the holy and heavenly calling. That word came in upon me, I will cleanse their blood, that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. These words I thought were sent to encourage me to wait still upon God, and signified unto me, that if I were not already, yet time might come, I might be in truth converted unto Christ. About this time I began to break my mind to those poor people in Bedford, and to tell them my condition, which when they had heard, they told Mr. Gifford of me, who himself also took occasion to talk with me, and was willing to be well persuaded of me, though I think from little grounds, but he invited me to his house, where I should hear him confer with others, about the dealings of God with their souls. From all which I still received more conviction, and from that time began to see something of the vanity and inward wretchedness of my wicked heart. For as yet I knew no great matter therein. But now it began to be discovered unto me, and also to work at that rate as it never did before. Now I evidently found, that lusts and corruptions put forth themselves within me, in wicked thoughts and desires, which I did not regard before. My desires also for heaven and life began to fail. I found also, that whereas before my soul was full of longing after God, now it began to hanker after every foolish vanity. Yea, my heart would not be moved to mind that which was good. It began to be careless, both of my soul and heaven. It would now continually hang back, both to and in every duty, and was as a clog on the leg of a bird, to hinder me from flying. Nay, thought I, now I grow worse and worse, now I am farther from conversion than ever I was before. Wherefore I began to sink greatly in my soul, and began to entertain such discouragement in my heart, as laid me as low as hell. If now I should have burned at the stake, I could not believe that Christ had love for me, alas! I could neither hear him, nor see him, nor feel him, nor favor any of his things. I was driven as with a tempest, my heart would be unclean, and the Canaanites would dwell in the land. Sometimes I would tell my condition to the people of God, which, when they heard, they would pity me, and would tell me of the promises. But they had as good have told me, that I must reach the sun with my finger, as have bidden me receive or rely upon the promises, and as soon I should have done it. All my sense and feeling were against me. And I saw I had an heart that would sin, and that lay under a law that would condemn. These things have often made me think of the child which the Father brought to Christ, who, while he was yet coming to him, was thrown down by the devil, and also so rent and torn by him, that he lay down and wallowed, foaming. Further, in these days, I would find my heart to shut itself up against the Lord, and against his holy word. I have found my unbelief to set, as it were, the shoulder to the door, to keep him out. And that too even then, when I have with many a bitter sigh, cried, Good Lord, break it open, Lord, break these gates of brass, and cut these bars of iron asunder. Yet that word would sometimes create in my heart a peaceable pause, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. But all this while, as to the act of sinning, I was never more tender than now, my hinder parts were inward, I durst not take a pin or stick, though but so big as a straw. For my conscience now was sore, and would smart at every touch, I could not now tell how to speak my words, for fear I should misplace them. Oh, how gingerly did I then go, in all I did or said. I found myself as on a miry bog, that shook if I did but stir, and was, as there, left both of God and Christ, and the Spirit, and all good things. But I observed, though I was such a great sinner before conversion, yet God never much charged the guilt of the sins of my ignorance upon me. Only he showed me, I was lost if I had not Christ, because I had been a sinner, I saw that I wanted a perfect righteousness to present me without fault before God, and this righteousness was nowhere to be found, but in the person of Jesus Christ. But my original and inward pollution, that was my plague and affliction, that I saw at a dreadful rate, always putting forth itself within me, that I had the guilt of, to amazement. By reason of that, I was more loathsome in mine own eyes than was a toad, and I thought I was so in God's eyes too. Sin and corruption, I said, would as naturally bubble out of my heart, as water would bubble out of a fountain. I thought now, that everyone had a better heart than I had. I could have changed heart with anybody. I thought none but the devil himself could equalize me for inward wickedness and pollution of mind. I fell therefore at the sight of my own vileness deeply into despair. For I concluded, that this condition that I was in, could not stand with a state of grace. Sure, thought I am forsaken of God. Sure, I am given up to the devil, and to a reprobate mind. And thus I continued a long while, even for some years together. While I was thus afflicted with the fears of my own damnation, there were two things would make me wonder. The one was, when I saw old people hunting after the things of this life, as if they should live here always. The other was, when I found professors much distressed and cast down, when they met with outward losses, as of husband, wife, child, etc. Lord, thought I, what ado is here about such little things as these? What seeking after carnal things, by some, and what grief in others for the loss of them? If they so much labor after, and shed so many tears for the things of this present life, how am I to be bemoaned, pitied, and prayed for? My soul is dying, my soul is damning. Were my soul but in a good condition, and were I but sure of it, ah! How rich should I esteem myself, though blessed but with bread and water. I should count those but small afflictions, and should bear them as little burthens. A wounded spirit who can bear? And though I was much troubled, and tossed, and afflicted, with the sight and sense and terror of my own wickedness, yet I was afraid to let this sight and sense go quite off my mind, that unless guilt of conscience was taken off the right way, that is, by the blood of Christ, a man grew rather worse for the loss of his trouble of mind, than better. Wherefore, if my guilt lay hard upon me, then I should cry that the blood of Christ might take it off, and if it was going off without it. For the sense of sin would be sometimes as if it would die, and go quite away, then I would also strive to fetch it upon my heart again, by bringing the punishment of sin in hell fire upon my spirit, and should cry, Lord, let it not go off my heart, but the right way, by the blood of Christ, and the application of thy mercy, through him, to my soul, for that scripture lay much upon me, without shedding of blood is no remission. And that which made me the more afraid of this, was, because I had seen some, who though when they were under wounds of conscience, would cry and pray, yet seeking rather present ease from their trouble, than pardon for their sin, cared not how they lost their guilt, so they got it out of their mind. Now, having got it off the wrong way, it was not sanctified unto them. But they grew harder and blinder, and more wicked after their trouble. This made me afraid, and made me cry to God the more, that it might not be so with me. And now I was sorry that God had made me man, for I feared I was a reprobate. I counted man as unconverted, the most doleful of all the creatures. Thus being afflicted and tossed about my sad condition, I counted myself alone, and above the most of men unblessed. Yea, I thought it impossible that ever I should attain to so much goodness of heart, as to thank God that he had made me a man. Man indeed is the most noble by creation, of all creatures in the visible world. But by sin he has made himself the most ignoble. The beasts, birds, fishes, etc. I bless their condition, for they had not a sinful nature. They were not obnoxious to the wrath of God. They were not to go to hellfire after death. I could therefore have rejoiced, had my condition been as any of theirs. In this condition I went a great while, but when comforting time was come, I heard one preach a sermon on these words in the Song of Solomon. Behold, thou art fair, my love, behold, thou art fair. But at that time he made these two words, my love, his chief and subject matter, from which, after he had a little opened the text, he observed these several conclusions: 1. That the church, and so every saved soul, is Christ's love, when loveless. 2. Christ's love without a cause. 3. Christ's love, when hated of the world. 4. Christ's love, when under temptation and under destruction. 5. Christ's love, from first to last. But I got nothing by what he said at present. Only when he came to the application of the fourth particular, this was the word he said: "If it be so, that the saved soul is Christ's love, when under temptation and desertion, then poor tempted soul, when thou art assaulted, and afflicted with temptations, and the hidings of God's face, yet think on these two words, my love, still." So as I was going home, these words came again into my thoughts. And I well remember, as they came in, I said thus in my heart, "What shall I get by thinking on these two words?" This thought had no sooner passed through my heart, but these words began thus to kindle in my spirit: "Thou art my love, thou art my dove," 20 times together. And still as they ran in my mind, they waxed stronger and warmer, and began to make me look up. But being as yet, between hope and fear, I still replied in my heart, "But is it true, but is it true?" At which that sentence fell upon me: "He wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel." Then I began to give place to the word which with power, did over and over make this joyful sound within my soul: "Thou art my love, thou art my love, and nothing shall separate thee from my love." And with that my heart was filled full of comfort and hope, and now I could believe that my sins should be forgiven me. Yea, I was now so taken with the love and mercy of God, that I remember I could not tell how to contain till I got home. I thought I could have spoken of his love, and have told of his mercy to me, even to the very crows, that sat upon the ploughed lands before me, had they been capable to have understood me. Wherefore I said in my soul, with much gladness, "Well, I would I had a pen and ink here, I would write this down before I go any farther. For surely I will not forget this 40 years hence." But, alas! Within less than 40 days I began to question all again, which made me begin to question all still. Yet still at times I was helped to believe, that it was a true manifestation of grace unto my soul, though I had lost much of the life and favor of it. Now about a week or a fortnight after this I was much followed by this scripture: "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you," and sometimes it would sound so loud within me, yea, and as it was, call so strongly after me, that once, above all the rest, I turned my head over my shoulder, thinking verily that some man had behind me, called me. Being at a great distance, methought he called so loud, it came, as I have thought since, to have stirred me up to prayer, and to watchfulness. It came to acquaint me, that a cloud and a storm was coming down upon me, but I understood it not. Also, as I remember, the time that it called to me so loud, was the last time that it sounded in mine ears. But methinks I hear still with what a loud voice these words, "Simon, Simon," sounded in mine ears. I thought verily, as I have told you, that somebody had called after me, that was half a mile behind me, and although that was not my name, yet it made me suddenly look behind me, believing that he that called so loud, meant me. But so foolish was I, and ignorant, that I knew not the reason of this sound, which as I did both see and feel soon after, was sent from heaven as an alarm, to awaken me to provide for what was coming. Only I should muse and wonder in my mind, to think what should be the reason of this scripture, and that at this rate, so often and so loud, should still be sounding and rattling in mine ears. But, as I said before, I soon after perceived the end of God therein. For, about the space of a month after, a very great storm came down upon me, which handled me 20 times worse than all I had met with before. It came stealing upon me, now by one piece, then by another. First, all my comfort was taken from me. Then darkness seized upon me. After which, whole floods of blasphemies, both against God, Christ, and the Scriptures, were poured upon my spirit, to my great confusion and astonishment. These blasphemous thoughts were such as stirred up questions in me against the very being of God, and of His only beloved Son, as, whether there were in truth, a God or Christ, and whether the Holy Scriptures were not rather a fable, and cunning story, than the holy and pure Word of God. The tempter would also much assault me with this: how can you tell but that the Turks had as good Scriptures to prove their Mahomet the Saviour, as we have to prove our Jesus is? And, could I think, that so many 10,000s, in so many countries and kingdoms, should be without the knowledge of the right way to heaven? If there were indeed a heaven, and that we only, who live in a corner of the earth, should alone be blessed therewith. Every one doth think his own religion rightest, both Jews and Moors, and pagans. And how if all our faith, and Christ, and Scriptures, should be but a think so too? Sometimes I have endeavoured to argue against these suggestions, and to set some of the sentences of blessed Paul against them. But alas! I quickly felt, when I thus did, such arguings as these would return again upon me. Though we made so great a matter of Paul, and of his words, yet how could I tell, but that in very deed, he being a subtle and cunning man, might give himself up to deceive with strong delusions, and also take the pains and travel, to undo and destroy his fellows. These suggestions, with many others which at this time I may not, and dare not utter, neither by word or pen, did make such a seizure upon my spirit, and did so overweigh my heart, both with their number, continuance, and fiery force, that I felt as if there were nothing else but these from morning to night within me, and as though indeed there could be room for nothing else, and also concluded, that God had, in very wrath to my soul, given me up to them, to be carried away with them, as with a mighty whirlwind. Only by the distaste that they gave unto my spirit, I felt there was something in me that refused to embrace them. But this consideration I then only hid, when God gave me leave to swallow my spittle. Otherwise the noise, and strength, and force of these temptations would drown and overflow, and as it were, bury all such thoughts, or the remembrance of any such thing. While I was in this temptation, I often found my mind suddenly put upon it to curse and swear, or to speak some grievous thing against God, or Christ his Son, and of the Scriptures. Now I thought, surely I am possessed of the devil. At other times, again, I thought I should be bereft of my wits. For instead of lauding and magnifying God the Lord, with others, if I have but heard him spoken of, presently some most horrible blasphemous thought or other would bolt out of my heart against him. So that whether I did think that God was, or again did think there was no such thing, no love, nor peace, nor gracious disposition could I feel within me. These things did sink me into very deep despair, for I concluded that such things could not possibly be found amongst them that loved God. I often, when these temptations had been with force upon me, did compare myself to the case of such a child, whom some gypsy hath by force took up in her arms, and is carrying from friend and country. Kick sometimes I did, and also shriek and cry. But yet I was bound in the wings of the temptation, and the wind would carry me away. I thought also of Saul, and of the evil spirit that did possess him, and did greatly fear that my condition was the same with that of his. In these days, when I have heard others talk of what was the sin against the Holy Ghost, then would the tempter so provoke me to desire to sin that against sin, that I was as if I could not, must not, neither should be quiet until I had committed it. Now no sin would serve but that. If it were to be committed by speaking of such a word, then I have been as if my mouth would have spoken that word, whether I would or no. And in so strong a measure was this temptation upon me, that often I have been ready to clap my hand under my chin, to hold my mouth from opening. And to that end also, I have had thoughts at other times, to leap with my head downward, into some muck-hill hole or other, to keep my mouth from speaking. Now again I beheld the condition of the dog and toad, and counted the estate of everything that God had made, far better than this dreadful state of mine, and such as my companions were. Yea, gladly would I have been in the condition of a dog or horse, for I knew they had no souls to perish under the everlasting weight of hell, or sin, as mine was like to do. Nay, and though I saw this, felt this, and was broken to pieces with it, yet that which added to my sorrow was, I could not find, that with all my soul I did desire deliverance. That scripture did also tear and rend my soul in the midst of these distractions. The wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And now my heart was, at times, exceeding hard. If I would have given £1,000 for a tear, I could not shed one, no nor sometimes scarce desire to shed one. I was much dejected, to think that this would be my lot. I saw some could mourn and lament their sin, and others again, could rejoice and bless God for Christ, and others again, could quietly talk of, and with gladness remember the word of God, while I only was in the storm or tempest. This much sunk me, I thought my condition was alone, I should therefore much bewail my hard hap, but get out of, or get rid of these things, I could not. While this temptation lasted, which was about a year, I could attend upon none of the ordinances of God, but with sore and great affliction. Yea, then I was most distressed with blasphemies. If I had been hearing the word, then uncleanness, blasphemies and despair would hold me a captive there. If I have been reading, then sometimes I had sudden thoughts to question all I read, sometimes again, my mind would be so strangely snatched away, and possessed with other things, that I have neither known, nor regarded, nor remembered so much as the sentence that but now I have read. In prayer also I have been greatly troubled at this time. Sometimes I have thought I have felt him behind me pulling my clothes, he would be also continually at me in time of prayer, to have done, break off, make haste, you have prayed enough, and stay no longer. Still drawing my mind away. Sometimes also he would cast in such wicked thoughts as these, that I must pray to him, or for him, I have thought sometimes of that, fall down. Or, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Also, when because I have had wandering thoughts in the time of this duty, I have labored to compose my mind, and fix it upon God, then with great force hath the tempter labored to distract me, and confound me, and to turn away my mind, by presenting to my heart and fancy, the form of a bush, a bull, a besom, or the like, as if I should pray to these he would also, at some times especially, so hold my mind, that I was as if I could think of nothing else, or pray to nothing else but to these, or such as they. Yet at times I should have some strong and heart-affecting apprehensions of God, and the reality of the truth of his gospel. But, oh! How would my heart, at such times, put forth itself with unexpressible groanings? My whole soul was then in every word. I should cry with pangs after God, that he would be merciful unto me. But then I should be daunted again with such conceits as these, I should think that God did mock at these my prayers, saying, and that in the audience of the holy angels, this poor simple wretch doth hanker after me, as if I had nothing to do with my mercy, but to bestow it on such as he. Alas, poor soul! How art thou deceived? It is not for such as thee to have favor with the highest. Then hath the tempter come upon me, also, with such discouragements as these, you are very hot for mercy, but I will cool you. This frame shall not last always, many have been as hot as you for a spurt, but I have quenched their zeal. And with this, such and such, who were fore and off, would be set before mine eyes. Then I should be afraid that I should do so too, but, thought I am glad this comes into my mind, well, I will watch, and take what care I can. Though you do, said Satan, I shall be too hard for you. I will cool you insensibly, by degrees, by little and little. What care I, saith he, though I be 7 years in chilling your heart, if I can do it at last? Continual rocking will lull a crying child asleep, I will ply it close, but I will have my end accomplished. Though you be burning hot at present, I can pull you from this fire. I shall have you cold before it be long. These things brought me into great straits. For as I at present could not find myself fit for present death, so I thought, to live long, would make me yet more unfit. For time would make me forget all, and wear even the remembrance of the evil of sin, the worth of heaven, and the need I had of the blood of Christ to wash me, both out of mind and thought. But I thank Christ Jesus, these things did not at present make me slack my crying, but rather did put me more upon it. Like her who met with adulterer, in which days that was a good word to me, after I had suffered these things a while, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, etc., shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And now I hope long life would not destroy me, nor make me miss of heaven. Yet I had some supports in this temptation, though they were then all questioned by me. That in Jeremiah 3, at the first was something to me. And so was the consideration of verse 5 of the chapter. That though we have spoken and done as evil things as we could, yet we should cry unto God, My Father, Thou art the guide of my youth, and shall return unto him. I had, also, once a sweet glance from that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I remember that one day, as I was sitting in a neighbor's house, and they very sad at the consideration of my many blasphemies, and as I was saying in my mind, What ground have I to say that, who have been so vile and abominable, should ever inherit eternal life? That word came suddenly upon me, What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. That also was an help unto me, because I live, ye shall live also. John 14:19. But these words were but hints, touches, and short visits, though very sweet when present. Only they lasted not. But, like to Peter's sheet, of a sudden were caught up from me, to heaven again. Acts 10:16. But afterwards the Lord did more fully and graciously discover himself unto me, and indeed, did quite, not only deliver me from the guilt that, by these things was laid upon my conscience, but also from the very filth thereof. For the temptation was removed, and I was put into my right mind again, as other Christians were. I remember that one day, as I was travelling into the country, and musing on the wickedness and blasphemy of my heart, and considering the enmity that was in me to God, that Scripture came into my mind, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Colossians 1:20. By which I was made to see, both again and again, that God and my soul were friends by his blood. Yea, I saw that the justice of God, and my sinful soul could embrace and kiss each other, through his blood. This was a good day to me. I hope I shall never forget it. At another time, as I sat by the fire in my house, and was musing on my wretchedness, the Lord made that also a precious word unto me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:14-15. I thought that the glory of these words was then so weighty on me, that I was both once and twice ready to swoon as I sate. Yet not with grief and trouble, but with solid joy and peace. At this time also I sate under of holy Mr. Gifford, whose doctrine, by God's grace, was much for my stability. This man made it much his business to deliver the people of God from all those false and unsound tests, that by nature we are prone to. He would bid us take special heed, that we took not up any truth upon trust, as from this, or that, or any other man or men, but to cry mightily to God, that he would convince us of the reality thereof, and set us down therein by his own Spirit in the Holy Word. For, said he, if you do otherwise, when temptations come, if strongly, you not having received them with evidence from heaven, will find you want that help and strength now to resist, that once you thought you had. This was as seasonable to my soul, as the former and latter rains in their season. For I had found, and that by sad experience, the truth of these his words, for I had felt no man can say, especially when tempted by the devil, that Jesus Christ is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Wherefore I found my soul, through grace, very apt to drink in this doctrine, and to incline to pray to God, that in nothing that pertained to God's glory, and my own eternal happiness, he would suffer me to be without the confirmation thereof from heaven. For now I saw clearly, there was an exceeding difference betwixt the notion of the flesh and blood, and the revelations of God in heaven, also a great difference betwixt that faith that is feigned, and according to man's wisdom, and that which comes by a man's being born thereto of God. But, oh! Now, how was my soul led from truth to truth by God? Even from the birth and cradle of the Son of God, to his accession, and second coming from heaven to judge the world. Truly, I then found, upon this account, the great God was very good unto me. For, to my remembrance, there was not anything that I then cried unto God to make known, and reveal unto me, but he was pleased to do it for me. I mean, not one part of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, but I was orderly led into it, methought I saw with great evidence, from the relation of the four evangelists, the wonderful work of God, in giving Jesus Christ to save us, from his conception and birth, even to his second coming to judgment, methought I was as if I had seen him born, as if I had seen him grow up, as if I had seen him walk through this world, from the cradle to the cross. To which also, when he came, I saw how gently he gave himself to be hanged, and nailed on it for my sins and wicked doings. Also as I was musing on this his progress, that dropped on my spirit, he was ordained for the slaughter. When I have considered also the truth of his resurrection, and have remembered that word, touch me not, Mary, etc., I have seen as if he had leaped out of the grave's mouth, for joy that he was risen again, and had got the conquest over our dreadful foes. I have also in the spirit, seen him a man, on the right hand of God the Father for me, and have seen the manner of his coming from heaven, to judge the world with glory, and have been confirmed in these things by these scriptures following. Acts 1. 9, 10. And 7. 56. And 10. 42. Hebrews. 7. 24. And 9. 28. Revelation. 1. 18. 1 Thess. 4. 17, 18. Once I was troubled to know whether the Lord Jesus was man as well as God, and God as well as man, and truly, in those days, let men say what they would, unless I had it with evidence from heaven, all was nothing to me. I counted myself not set down in any truth of God. Well, I was much troubled about this point, and could not tell how to be resolved. At last, that in Revelation 5, 6 came into my mind, and I beheld, and, to, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. In the midst of the throne, thought I, there is the Godhead. In the midst of the elders, there is his manhood. But, oh! Methought this did glister. It was a goodly touch, and gave me sweet satisfaction. That other scripture also did help me much in this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, etc. Isaiah 9. 6. Also besides these teachings of God in his word, the Lord made use of two things to confirm me in this truth. The one was the errors of the Quakers and the other was the guilt of sin. For as the Quakers did oppose this truth, so God did the more confirm me in it, by leading me into the scripture that did wonderfully maintain it. The errors that this people then maintained, were, 1. That the holy scriptures were not the word of God. 2. That every man in the world had the spirit of Christ, grace, faith, etc. 3. That Christ Jesus, as crucified, and dying 1600 years ago, did not satisfy divine justice for the sins of the people. 4. That Christ's flesh and blood were within the saints. 5. That the bodies of the good and bad that are buried in the churchyard shall not arise again. 6. That the resurrection is past with good men already. 7. That man Jesus, that was crucified between two thieves, on Mount Calvary, in the land of Canaan, by Jerusalem, was not ascended above the starry heavens. 8. That he should not, even the same Jesus that died by the hands of the Jews, come again at the last day, and as man, judge all nations, etc. Many more vile and abominable things were in those days fomented by them, by which I was driven to a more narrow search of the Scriptures, and was through their light and testimony, not only enlightened, but greatly confirmed and comforted in the truth, and, as I said, the guilt of sin did help me much. For still as that would come upon me, the blood of Christ did take it off again, and again, and again, and that too sweetly, according to the Scripture. O friends! Cry to God to reveal Jesus Christ unto you. There is none teacheth like him. It would be too long here to stay, to tell you in particular, how God did set me down in all the things of Christ, and how he did, that he might so do, lead me into his words. Yea, and also how he did open them unto me, and make them shine before me, and cause them to dwell with me, talk with me, and comfort me over and over, both of his own being, and the being of his Son, and Spirit, and Word, and Gospel. Only this, as I said before, I will say unto you again, that in general, he was pleased to take this course with me. First, to suffer me to be afflicted with temptations concerning them, and then reveal them unto me. As sometimes I should lie under great guilt for sin, even crushed to the ground therewith. And then the Lord would show me the death of Christ. Yea, so sprinkle my conscience with his blood, that I should find, and that before I was aware, that in that conscience, where but just now did reign and rage the law, even there would rest and abide the peace and love of God, through Christ. Now I had an evidence, as I thought, of my salvation, from heaven, with many golden seals thereon, all hanging in my sight. Now could I remember this manifestation, and the other discovery of grace, with comfort, and should often long and desire that the last day were come, that I might be forever inflamed with the sight, and joy, and communion of him, whose head was crowned with thorns, whose face was spit upon, and body broken, and soul made an offering for my sins. For whereas before I lay continually trembling at the mouth of hell, now methought I was got so far therefrom, that I could not, when I looked back, scarce discern it. And oh! Thought I, that I were fourscore years old now, that I might die quickly, that my soul might be gone to rest. But before I had got thus far out of these my temptations, I did greatly long to see some ancient godly man's experience, who had writ some hundreds of years before I was born. For those who had writ nowadays, I thought. But I desire them now to pardon me, that they had writ only that which others felt. Or else had, through the strength of their wits and parts, studied to answer such objections as they perceived others were perplexed with, without going down themselves into the deep. Well, after many such longings in my mind, the God, in whose hands are all our days and ways, did cast into my hand. One day a book of Martin Luther's. It was his comment on the Galatians. It also was so old, that it was ready to fall piece from piece if I did but turn it over. Now I was pleased much that such an old book had fallen into my hand, the which when I had but a little way perused, I found my condition in his experience so largely and profoundly handled, as if his book had been written out of my heart. This made me marvel, for thus thought I, this man could not know anything of the state of Christians now, but must needs write and speak the experience of former days. Besides, he doth most gravely also in that book, debate of the rise of these temptations, namely, blasphemy, desperation, and the like, showing that the law of Moses, as well as the devil, death, and hell, hath a very great hand therein, the which, at first, was very strange to me, but considering and watching, I found it so indeed. But of particulars here, I intend nothing. Only this methinks I must let fall before all men. I do prefer this book of Martin Luther upon the Galatians. Accepting the Holy Bible before all the books that ever I had seen, as most fit for a wounded conscience. And now I found, as I thought, that I loved Christ dearly, oh! Methought my soul cleaved unto him, my affections cleaved unto him. I felt love to him as hot as fire. And now, as Job said, I thought I should die in my nest. But I did quickly find, that my great love was but little, and that I, who had, as I thought, such burning love to Jesus Christ, could let him go again for a very trifle. God can tell how to abase us, and can hide pride from man. Quickly after this my love was tried to purpose. For after the Lord had, in this man, thus graciously delivered me from this great and sore temptation, and had set me down so sweetly in the faith of his holy gospel, and had given me such strong consolation and blessed evidence from heaven, touching my interest in his love through Christ. The tempter came upon me again, and that with a more grievous and dreadful temptation than before. And that was, to sell and part with this most blessed Christ, to exchange him for the things of this life, for anything. The temptation lay upon me for the space of a year, and did follow me so continually, that I was not rid of it one day in a month, no, not sometimes one hour in many days together, unless when I was asleep. And though, in my judgment, I was persuaded, that those who were once effectually in Christ, as I hoped, through his grace, I had seen myself, could never lose him forever. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, saith God in Leviticus 25. 23. Yet it was a continual vexation to me, to think that I should have so much as one such thought within me against a Christ, a Jesus, that had done for me as he had done. And yet then I had almost none others, but such blasphemous ones. But it was neither my dislike of the thought, nor yet any desire and endeavour to resist, that in the least did shake or abate the continuation or force and strength thereof. For it did always, in almost whatever I thought, intermix itself therewith, in such sort, that I could neither eat my food, stoop for a pin, chop a stick, or cast mine eye to look on this or that, but still the temptation would come, sell Christ for this, or sell Christ for that. Sell him, sell him. Sometimes it would run in my thoughts, not so little as 100 times together, sell him, sell him, sell him, against which, I may say, for whole hours together, I have been forced to stand as continually leaning and forcing my spirit against it, lest happily, before I were aware, some wicked thought might arise in my heart, that might consent thereto. And sometimes the tempter would make me believe I had consented to it. But then I should be, as tortured upon a rack for whole days together. This temptation did put me to such scares, lest I should at some times, I say, consent thereto, and be overcome therewith, that by the very force of my mind, in labouring to gainsay and resist this wickedness, my very body would be put into action or motion, by way of pushing or thrusting with my hands or elbows. Still answering, as fast as the destroyer said, sell him. I will not, I will not, I will not, I will not. No, not for thousands, thousands, thousands of worlds, thus reckoning, lest I should, in the midst of these assaults, set too low a value on him, even until I scarce well knew where I was, or how to be composed again. At these seasons he would not let me eat my food at quiet. But, forsooth, when I was set at the table at my meat, I must go hence to pray. I must leave my food now, just now, so counterfeit holy also would this devil be. When I was thus tempted, I would say in myself, now I am at meat. Let me make an end. No, said he, you must do it now, or you will displease God, and despise Christ. Wherefore I was much afflicted with these things, and because of the sinfulness of my nature. Imagining that these were impulses from God, I should deny to do it, as if I denied God, And then should I be as guilty, because I did not obey a temptation of the devil, as if I had broken the law of God indeed? But to be brief, one morning as I did lie in my bed, I was, as at other times, most fiercely assaulted with this temptation, to sell and part with Christ. The wicked suggestion still running in my mind, sell him, sell him, sell him, sell him, sell him, as fast as a man could speak, against which also, in my mind, as at other times, I answered, no, no, not for thousands, 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 at least 20 times together, but at last, after much striving, even until I was almost out of breath, I felt this thought pass through my heart, let him go, if he will. And I thought also, that I felt my heart freely consent thereto. Oh! The diligence of Satan. Oh! The desperateness of man's heart. Now was the battle won, and down fell I as a bird that is shot from the top of a tree, into great guilt, and fearful despair. Thus getting out of my bed, I went moping into the field. But God knows, with as heavy a heart as mortal man, I think, could bear, where for the space of 2 hours, I was like a man bereft of life, and, as now, past all recovery, and bound over to eternal punishment. And withal, that Scripture did seize upon my soul, or profane persons as he saw, who for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright, for ye know, how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Hebrews 12, 16 and 17. Now was I as one bound, I felt myself shut up unto the judgment to come. Nothing now, for 2 years together, would abide with me, but damnation, and an expectation of damnation, I say, nothing now would abide with me but this, save some few moments for relief, as in the sequel you will see. These words were to my soul, like fetters of brass to my legs, in the continual sound of which I went for several months together. But about 10 or 11 o'clock on that day, as I was walking under an hedge, full of sorrow and guilt, God knows, and bemoaning myself for this hard hap, that such a thought should arise within me, suddenly this sentence rushed in upon me, the blood of Christ remits all guilt. At this I made a stand in my spirit, with that this word took hold upon me, the blood of Jesus Christ his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1. 7. Now I began to conceive peace in my soul, and methought I saw, as if the tempter did leer and steal away from me, as being ashamed of what he had done. At the same time also I had my sin, and the blood of Christ, thus represented to me, that my sin, when compared to the blood of Christ, was no more to it, than this little clod or stone before me, is to this vast and wide field that here I see. This gave me good encouragement for the space of 2 or 3 hours, in which time also, methought, I saw, by faith, the Son of God, as suffering for my sins, but because it tarried not, I therefore sunk in my spirit, under exceeding guilt again. But chiefly by the aforementioned Scripture concerning Esau's selling of his birthright. For that Scripture would lie all day long, all the week long, yea, all the year long in my mind, and hold me down, so that I could by no means lift up myself. For when I would strive to turn to this Scripture or that, for relief, still that sentence would be sounding in me. For ye know, how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.